The apparitions of Our Lady and Our Lord at Bayside are regarded by some as the most important Marian apparitions of these last times, and for reason. For years, the Blessed Virgin came to us in her appearances at Bayside, warning that if we didn't rid America of abortion and homosexuality and return our country to its rightful place unto God, we would soon witness the hand of God upon our nation. And now we see the storm clouds of prophecy beginning to gather in and around our country. Already, victories are being scored in the gay camp with the passing of gay marriage in California and other states. We see mounting tensions at the gas pumps amidst growing fears of depression and war, not to mention the renewed Soviet aggression in the Caucasus. And with elections around the corner, we could very well be approaching the fulfillment of Our Lady's prophecy on October 6, 1980, when she told Veronica, quote, "Your country, the United States, my child, shall have great trial, the winter and the wars. There shall be internal strife in your government, and your streets will become running with blood." The point being that we are entering into a very crucial period of tribulation for our country. So as those storm clouds gather about America, we need to gather under Our Lady's mantle and anchor ourselves to the rock that she brings us, which is her Son and the knowledge of the truth. Because without this anchor, we will most certainly be blown away in the storm. Our Lady's purpose is to come and save us and bring us to this safe haven, that we might have a port of salvation. And you are called to enter this port and experience that true blue tranquility that you will not find anywhere else. You are called to Our Lady of the Rosa Shrine in Flushing Meadows, New York, the site of the Virgin Mary's apparitions in these latter days. As Jesus has said, we have made our home upon these grounds. The hand of Our Lady is calling her children home in the advent of the greatest cataclysm to have occurred from the beginning of time. Soon it will storm and thunder upon the earth, so Our Lady is calling her children to the ark, that they may ride out these coming days in the company of Jesus, Mary, and the saints. She truly is the ark of grace that God has provided for the world at this last hour. Each year in June, faithful pilgrims from throughout the world make their annual pilgrimage to Our Lady of the Rosa Shrine to commemorate the anniversary of the Virgin Mary's appearances here in America. And this year was certainly no exception to this. Some 600 people gathered at the sacred grounds on Saturday, June 21st, to honor the 38th anniversary of Our Lady's coming to Bayside and to thank her for another year in the light. Where would we be without her? Several priests were also present to hear confessions during the ceremony, which only contributed to Our Lady's purpose, and that is to draw mankind back to the fold, that they might have that peace and consolation in knowing that they are fulfilling their mission in life as Roman Catholics, loyal to the Holy Father in Rome. One of the key intentions of the Bayside vigils is just that, to pray for the safety and welfare of the Pope and all the clergy of the world. A holy hour is held each Sunday of the year at the Holy Grounds, specifically for this intention, as was the holy hour on June 22nd, which formed part of the anniversary functions this year. Well over 200 people attended, including the clergy mentioned above. The anniversary functions resumed at the nearby LaGuardia Marriott, where 230 people attended the 38th anniversary banquet. Featured at the banquet were three principal speakers, including a priest of the Dominican Order who testified to the superabundant graces received at Bayside. And rather than tell you any more, we are going to hear a recording of the banquet talks. SMWA President Michael Mangan opens the program with an informative talk on the Lay Order of St. Michael and how it is leading the shrine at Bayside toward the fulfillment of Our Lady's prophecy.
I'd like to personally introduce the Lay Order of St. Michael. They are a pleasure to work with. I don't know what we would do without them. They work so hard. I mean, literally 24/7, they work for this mission. They have given up their lives. As you know, we live in community. We live a celibate life, which, as you can see, it's not that hard. I mean, we're all fat, bald, and ugly anyway, so who would want us, you know? Okay. Did you hear what James said? He said, "Speak for yourself, Michael." I'll talk. Okay. But let me just introduce first to my immediate left, James Donahue, who's the Vice President of St. Michael's World Apostolate, And to his immediate left is John Benavides. And to his left is Peter Frank. And to his left is William Dykes Jr. And also to Bill Dykes' left is Daryl Bolise. You may have noticed, too, that we have a green tie on. Towards the bottom are the embroidered initials L-O-S-M. That's the Lay Order of St. Michael. And this is a community that was established by Veronica and Our Lady. And as we have told you many times, that from this lay order will emerge the religious order of St. Michael with priests, brothers, the lay order, the laity, as well as a Carmelite convent. In fact, let me quote very briefly. This is in 1974, where Our Lady speaks, quote, "The Order of Michael will be established in the United States." And again, later in 1974, quote, "This order will be founded on basic tradition. This order will gather those of true spirit. This order will be composed of both men and women in a cloistered convent." And later on, Veronica had a vision in which she saw the order of the day. Presumably, it was the order of St. Michael. And Jesus says, "You are watching, my child, the order of that day." So this is in the public message, the order of St. Michael. Our Lady and Veronica has made it known, and it's through the lay order of St. Michael that this great illustrious order will emerge. So you are witnessing history. This is the beginning. And it couldn't happen or begin with a better crew. They work 6.5 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Sunday is a holy hour, and a lot of times Sunday afternoon we have meetings. So we are literally going 24/7, but we all see it as a singular privilege and honor to do this work for Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help Mothers. And we will continue to do this with great love and for a thirst for the salvation of souls. And that's the whole idea. But this will be our uniform, this green tie with LOSM for our vigils and holy hours. And green happens to be liturgically correct as well. As you know, during the main season when these ties will be exposed, it is considered the ordinary season of the church. And you'll notice that the good priests will be wearing green vestments. So we're actually liturgically correct as well. But primarily the reason why we chose green is because why? Green for St. Michael. That's it. Green for St. Michael. Our Lady has said the message that St. Michael is the leader of the army and that this is his day, the great warrior of St. Michael, to emerge. And that's why we're all asked, you and me and the lay order, to be warrior-like, to be true warriors in defense of our faith and in defense of Our Lady's message, and to go forward fearlessly and with great courage in saving souls. So you're seeing the development of the Order of St. Michael right before your very eyes. Another important point I want to make, we have a very strong prayer life. We go to daily Mass. We pray 15 decade rosary a day, one in church, one in the office, and one at home. We have community Bible 2 nights a week, which follows with the long exorcism of St. Michael. We have the holy hour every Sunday for priests. We have vigils 30 times a year. Every Thursday, we have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And every first Friday, and we hope to expand this, we host or organize the Latin Tridentine Mass in our parish church. So we're trying to do our part in keeping this work going, and to honor and to observe the words of Our Lady of the Roses. But anyways, this is our uniform. We're proud to wear it, and we are proud to do this work. And please continue to keep the lay order of St. Michael in our prayers. And we are looking for that day, for that speedy fulfillment of Our Lady's prophecy, where one day we'll be wearing a habit ourselves, and that there might be some type of green symbol on the habit. But we look forward to that day that we can represent and serve you in habit as priests and brothers. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And that was SMWA President Michael Mangan speaking at the 38th anniversary banquet at the LaGuardia Marriott. And of course, Our Lady has said through Veronica that Michael will be the visible head of the Order of St. Michael. Our next speaker is Father Scott Daniels, a Dominican priest ordained just 3 years ago, who has joined the ranks of Faithful and True.
Good people, I have to tell you that standing up here and talking to you, and many of you I recognize, I really feel like Moses before the burning bush. And I have to tell you, I still feel like all this is a dream. It's very surreal to me. But I came here, and Michael has asked me to give a testimonial. But I'm a little perplexed because Michael has only given me an hour to speak, so I have to. I want to tell you that as a priest of the Roman Catholic Church and a member of the Dominican Order, we follow the rule of St. Augustine. And my take on grace is thoroughly and completely Augustinian. There is nothing from existence and any and everything else we receive in this life, there is nothing we receive without God's grace. The only thing we can claim responsibility for are our sins. That's it. So, I want to begin by sharing my story with you. And you know, the older one gets, you look back over your life and you see a common thread of grace, where God has led, where God has beckoned, where God has called, and is continually trying to get us to pay attention, to draw us into his own life, the life shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many years ago, in July of 1982, I came to Bayside. I was 19 years old. I'm 45 now. It was a long time ago. And even from that moment, I knew I had a vocation to the priesthood. Veronica once told me, and I'll never forget, "For you, it will be a long and hard road, and good people, it was 22 years. 22 long, excruciating, painful years. Because you know, God deals with us where we are. That doesn't mean that all that we are is good. We're sinners, all of us. And so, as we are going along the journey, we are purified constantly in the flame of divine love. And I can tell you right now, that has been my experience. And it's not because God is a sadist. It's because we are sinners and we are broken. And to be purified by that perfect flame of divine love, infinite love, we therefore experience great pain. I left the shrine in 1991. I never stopped believing in the shrine. The thing was, after so many years of looking and trying to find my niche in terms of the priesthood, I finally gave up and pursued other things. Things that were detrimental to my salvation and my vocation. But God kept pursuing. He didn't let me alone. Everything I tried, from being a paralegal to being in retail management to being a teacher in a school, I was miserable. And so he would not leave me alone. And he found that niche for me in his own time. And I became a Dominican. I've been a Dominican now for 12 years, ordained to the priesthood only 3. Of course, formation is very long. But I have to tell you, even that journey, if it hadn't been for the traditional Catholicism that I learned as a young man here in this place, I could have been misled, because formation for us, the academic formation, was very heavily tainted by modernism. It was very difficult for me to endure that long journey. Because, good people, I will tell you, and I'm sure the other priest here can tell you, there are priests who believe that a woman has a right to choose. They are pro-homosexual marriage. They are pro-women's ordination. And they think nothing about it. Materially, they are in heresy, but formally, some of them are. But I have to give credit where credit is due. I admire the courage of all of you. It is like, since I've been here on Thursday, it is like being nourished. And now, moving on to another point, It is very important for us to realize, revisiting the Augustinian notion of grace, that any good that is in any of us is God's gift to us. It is His pure gift to us. We can lay no claims on it except that God is generous, He loves us, and He has given us of Himself, His own love, because God is by nature pure self-gift. We are all called to be one family and support the cause that God has given so generously through His own mother. There is no time like the present when the world needs to hear the message of Our Lady than right now. Think about it. We only have this one life to live, and that's it. And once this life is over and we enter the other side of reality, that's it. Our wills are fixed for eternity, and what we have chosen in this life, we live with for eternity, because time will cease and forever begins. We have to stick together. We have to be united. So we have to pray. And God knows that we have it very difficult. The three sources of temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil, constantly. And especially today, when we have every distraction. Everywhere we go, there's noise. There are constant distractions. But see, I honor all of you because you, and you really, I have to be honest here, you put us all to shame, most of us religious, with your prayers, your constant prayers that you offer to God. But the temptation then, because again, the devil's very clever. Well, those are very holy people. We're going to have to start tempting them to believe that it comes from them and not from God. It is God. It is always God. We cannot own the truth as though it were our own personal possession. It is God's gift to us, His goodness, His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness. We are mere instruments of that. We are not the arbiters. Let us pray for cohesion through the power of God's Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin, our own mother, whom He has given us. He has spared nothing, God, for our sake, not even His own Son. So let us be thankful, good people, especially now, because we do have something real. We have this apparition. You know, it's very easy today when there is just so much bankruptcy in terms of faith and hope. We have this sign of God's presence among us. And it is through His own mother, our blessed mother. Let us love one another. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray for perseverance. God love you.
This is a special edition of St. Michael's Radio, and that was Father Scott Daniels speaking at Bayside's 38th anniversary banquet. Father certainly spoke a pure sentence in saying that whatever good we may do or think is entirely God's gift to us, and that we can lay no claim to it. And this really is the underlying theme of Bayside, that we glorify God and show forth His right arm to the nations and keep ourselves out of the picture. That is to say, we don't look for acknowledgement from men. And it is because of this humble foundation, initiated most especially by St. Teresa back in 1968 with her Little Way, that the grace and mercy of God has poured itself into the Bayside movement and has built it up into what Our Lady has described as, quote, an apostleship that shall be forever written in the annals of the Church. And that's from her message of May 28, 1983. Bayside had humble beginnings, no mistake about it. But it's also had the most humbling setbacks and humiliations to endure for the past 38 years, especially from its persecutors. But one day, very soon, this bud of humility will bloom into full glory when God lifts the apostolate from its low estate and exalts it before the Church. The great warning will suddenly crush the enemies of Bayside and put to shame those who have heckled and doubted, as Our Lady said. So we need to count our blessings that the friendship of the Almighty rests with this movement. Let there be no mistake about it. This is where it's at. As Our Lady said, we depend on you because you are our little armies spread throughout the world. Now, she hasn't said that about other apostolates. So let us never forget to thank God for Bayside and to thank him for providing us with outstanding leadership in this mission from heaven. Which brings us now to our next speaker. You just heard Father Scott Daniels giving tribute to Our Lady's mission at Bayside. Now we're going to hear SMWA President Michael Mangan take it away as he speaks to us about Bayside, spiritual powerhouse and rock for our times.
Thank you very much, Father William Scott Daniels. And what a powerful and inspirational talk that is a perfect lead-in to my topic, a Bayside spiritual powerhouse and rock for our times, because you just gave further proof and evidence of the theme of my talk. And Our Lady speaks about her apparition and our Lord as well as this being a refuge of grace. Or let's actually use the exact words of Our Lady from the very beginning in 1970, quote, "This beloved spot, this hallowed place, will be an oasis in a barren land, for we will dispense here many graces upon you all." And just think for a moment, brothers and sisters to Christ, the imagery of an oasis. Our Lady talks about so often in the messages that this is an oasis in a barren land. Let's just take for a moment, if you can visualize yourself traveling the Sahara Desert. You're in there for a week. You're traveling the desert for a week. You're dirty, dusty, tired, thirsty, weary. You're about to collapse, maybe even die, and you fall upon an oasis, land of living water that will be refreshment and comfort and relief and consolation to you. It's a lifesaver for you. And so it is with Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help a Mother Shrine. Where would we be without its grace, direction, and guidance? And there's so much goodness in prayer, cure and conversion, and power emanating from Our Lady's grounds. And the spiritual world, Bayside packs a big wallop. The devil fears this shrine and trembles at its sight for two reasons. Number one, countless souls have been and will be snatched from his grasp by Our Lady of the Roses. And number two, the constant prayers that are rising from these holy grounds, prayers of love and reparation. Even so, we're living in very unstable and unpredictable times. And there's a lot of needy people out there looking for answers. They sense that something is wrong, something big is going to happen, and it's not very good, and they feel helpless. And we understand their high anxiety. We're right in the midst of great economic distress. Fuel and food costs are rising. Foreclosures are at an unprecedented level. We could be on the brink of the Great Depression predicted by Our Lady in October of 1988. Natural disasters are increasing in volume and intensity at a record pace. Just last month, we experienced two natural disasters of apocalyptic proportions, really, in Burma or Myanmar and China, in which over 250,000 lives were lost, at least. Could have been more, could be 500,000 or more. We're not getting the full truth there. Thousands were injured, millions more were homeless. Our Lady says the pages of the apocalypse are turning over and over again. Events of apocalyptic proportions. Closer to home, the Midwest. All over the Midwest, especially Iowa, is submerged, is literally underwater. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Underwater. Many of the small towns and villages in Iowa and the Midwest, underwater. Terrorism and war are ravaging the globe, and they can erupt here, anytime, any place. Terrorism and war. Here, overseas, Europe. And that's why people are in a state of perpetual anxiety. And they need something to turn to. They will be looking to turn to something that brings relief and help for them. Just like that person trudging across the Sahara Desert, they are looking for an oasis too. Enter Bayside. That's why Bayside will become even more and more relevant in the coming days, weeks, and years. And that's why we have to keep this mission going very, very strong. Because your family, friends, and parishioners that might be poo-pooing you or critical of you, disparaging you, making fun of you behind your back, they might be the first ones that will be coming to you for help in these coming days. Bayside gives, as Father Scott mentioned, that Bayside gives that refreshment, that nourishment, that relief and consolation that you get in an oasis. Bayside provides that. It's a lifesaver. It's a soul saver. Here's a beautiful testimonial from Louise Williams from Huntsville, Alabama. She wrote to us in January. My ex-husband had been a lapsed Catholic, but as a Southern Baptist, he was my first glimpse into this beautiful faith. I saw an article on Bayside and decided I would send for the book. It was a beautiful book, and by the time I had finished reading it, I knew that at the very least, I was going to investigate the Catholic Church. That was over 24 years ago, and I have been a faithful Catholic for 24 years now, so I thank Bayside with all my heart. And that's Louise Williams from Huntsville, Alabama. And make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are in perfect obedience if you follow and promote the Bayside message, because it is in total accord with Catholic faith and morals. Baysider equals loyal son and daughter of the church, one and the same. Ignore those charges from clergy or from others that you're disobedient, that it's sinful to go to Bayside. Our lady said the message that it's the clergy that are disobedient, not the little ones. I don't know how many times Father Scott has told me in his seminars that he has to go to that he encounters many, many priests that are diametrically opposed to the teachings of the church. And they're not ashamed to admit it. They are outright defiant. And as Our Lady said, it's the clergy that are disobedient, not you. And one of the things that we suggest that you promote is the latest pamphlet, Bayside Facts Revealed, this blue pamphlet. This has met with a lot of success. And one of the reasons why we produce this is to correct or counter the tremendous misinformation and disinformation about Bayside. And a couple of good examples. Francis Harrington, a very good Bayside, a good help for the shrine, he handed this to his pastor, this pamphlet. Within a few days, his pastor called him over. He says, Francis, he says, I just want to tell you that I read this pamphlet, and I was very impressed. Well written and well defended. And what gives this so much credibility, too, because he went on to say to Francis, he says, I'm not into apparitions. I'm not really into apparitions. But I just want to say I was impressed. This piece was well defended. We can reasonably assume, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the next time a parishioner approaches him about Bayside, instead of saying it's condemned and blah, 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 he's going to say, you know what? Go ahead. Doesn't matter to me. That's why we need to get this message out. Father Scott was telling me that he has a very good Catholic lady in his parish. And she often would kind of chide Father and say, Bayside's condemned, even in front of his Dominican priests. He gave this to this good Catholic lady. He has not heard from her since. She hasn't said a peep. Which it must be effective. It's working. It's a silencer. I kind of look at this and say that this is a deprogrammer, or it's Bayside defanged, because so many look upon Bayside as being a monster, something, a plague, a monster, whatever. And this kind of puts it to rest in many people's minds. 40 years ago, Bayside was launched with the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. It's been a very long journey, but it's not over. But we have to say that Bayside, Our Lady of the Roses, is probably the last great bastion of grace before our Lord's coming. Very special and unique. It's current, it's ongoing, and the prophecies are unfolding right before our very eyes right now. And as believers and promoters, you and I have an important part of history, because this mission, as Our Lady said on May 28, 1983, quote, shall be forever written in the annals of the church. And it's interesting, you look around, last night we had maybe 500, 600 people, and you say to yourself, there should be 5,000, 500,000 here. And no less than the authority of Pope Benedict XVI really expresses it so well. He says here, quote, large things always begin from the small seed. In other words, the great realities begin in humility. This truth is seen in the very actions of God in history. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you. The mustard seed, the grain of mustard seed, and that's what Bayside certainly mimics. You need Bayside, I need Bayside, the world desperately needs Bayside. Because Bayside is a spiritual powerhouse and rock for our times. God bless you. Keep up the good work and stay strong.
This is a special edition of St. Michael's Radio, and you've been listening to SMWA President Michael Mangan addressing the faithful at our 38th anniversary banquet at the LaGuardia Marriott on June 22, 2008. And you can see the spirit of truth so vibrant among the ranks of this movement. We are all called to stand forth and be defenders of our Catholic faith and witness for the message from heaven, which is why it's good to have on hand the new leaflet, Bayside, The Facts Revealed, because it says it as it is, and shows how the Church to date has never undertaken an ecclesiastical investigation of the Bayside apparitions, contrary to the claims of the Brooklyn Diocese, so that if after having read this leaflet, someone has a dare to criticize Bayside or slight its integrity, they're just going to show their ignorance. For which reason, we have received virtually no criticism of this leaflet, even from clergy or learned theologians. The worst we have received is silence, even from those who always seem to think they know it all. And in fact, we have received some rather positive feedback, as Michael pointed out in his talk. So if you're in a position where you are spreading Our Lady's message at Bayside, and you're coming under fire from infidels, or those who are ignorant of the facts, then you'll want to have some of these leaflets on hand, because you are called to be soldiers of truth. And a soldier of truth must be armed with the facts. And quote, be ready always to satisfy everyone that asks you a reason of that hope which is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. And part of the answer we give them is the facts, the legal facts, should they be inquiring about Bayside's legal stand with the Church, so that if they, quote, speak evil of you, they may be ashamed who falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. 1 Peter 3:16. Bayside Facts Revealed will put to shame those who speak falsely against the truth, but will greatly encourage those of goodwill who have been confused and discouraged by all the detraction and misinformation going around about Bayside. Be doubly assured that this misinformation is being generated by, quote, those men that detain the truth of God in injustice. Romans 1:18. There is no need to take these men seriously. And when you read Bayside Facts Revealed, you'll be doubly assured of that. So order some today for your supply. Don't be caught without them. This is a stunning full-color leaflet that will show others that St. Michael's is in business, and that they mean business. And for a dime each, you can't go wrong. This is all part of your equipment in the battle to defend the cause of faithful and true. Our next speaker is Gabriel Garnica. He is a college professor, a licensed attorney, and frequent contributor to conservative websites, having written nearly 300 articles on religious topics, including the many articles that he has written for Garabandal International magazine, which reports on all the events and news on Garabandal. As we know, the Blessed Mother appeared at Garabandal, Spain back in the early 60s, which is still pending a full ecclesiastical investigation. Though the Bishop of Garabandal at this time is endorsing the apparition, he is encouraging Catholics to go there and pray and be part of it. And in his talk, entitled Two Apparitions, One Mother, Gabriel draws some striking parallels between the apparitions of Our Lady at Bayside and Garabandal, showing in fact how they are two sister apparitions under one mother.
I want to thank Michael and the Laudator of St. Michael for giving me the honor and the privilege of speaking to all you good people on this glorious celebration for Our Lady of the Roses. Michael often refers to Garabandal and Bayside as sister apparitions, and who can argue with the family resemblance? The Bayside message and I go back a few years, back to when I was about 15. Over the years, I have attended a number of vigils, a few Sunday holy hours, some monthly meetings. More recently, as we said before, I'm a conservative political writer, a lot of pro-life and other types of religious articles, a lot on Garabandal. Of all the articles that I've written on Garabandal, the one that I'm most proud of is called The Stations of the Pines, which is basically a summary of the message of Garabandal and the events of Garabandal. In the interest of time, I'm going to summarize the stations around some themes which are very much a part of the Bayside message as well. The first theme that I'd like to speak about is Our Lady as visiting catechist, guide, and loving mother. At Garabandal, Our Lady spoke with the four girls as a caring, loving, and involved mother, interested in their daily activities and thoughts, in addition, of course, to their spiritual growth. We see the Blessed Mother as the undoer of knots, helping to resolve our life conflicts with the same miraculous way that she untangled scapulars and rosaries. Is not Bayside teeming with similar examples of our Blessed Mother's loving guidance and desire to teach us the faith? Is not each vigil a visitation from our Blessed Mother, reminding us of the kind of obedience, humility, and perseverance needed for salvation? Did not our Blessed Mother at Bayside often refer to proper prayer, holding fast to tradition, respecting the Word of God, and judging fads and innovations by their fruits and their sources? One need only look at her Bayside title, Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers, to find the answer. The next theme would be the significance of the church, priests, religious, and respecting authority. The Garabandal Stations gives us a Mary who obeyed the local priest's ban on ecstasies within the town church. She told the girls that they should greet a priest before an angel because the priest is consecrated. She instructed them to obey their parents, priests, and superiors before even her. We must pray for priests and religious because they are prime targets of the devil, who knows that they have the power to shepherd the faithful towards salvation or, on the contrary, to drag them towards perdition. Don't the Bayside Sunday holy hours for priests, the many messages related to the importance of the priesthood, the need to pray for them and their vulnerability to modernism, secularism, liberalism, tell us how important priests and religious are to our faith and salvation? Is not one of the central themes at Bayside the reality that the evil one, desperate to snatch souls, realizes that one of the most effective ways to do so is to attack the priesthood? Did not Bayside, like Garabandal, begin its storied events near a local church? Another theme is the Eucharist and prayer. These stations give us the Blessed Mother as a loving visitor and first tabernacle who brings Christ to us. One of the stations details how the Blessed Mother warned that less and less importance is being given to the Eucharist. They note the famous Garabandal pines were originally planted to commemorate children's first communion and remind us that the great miracle will occur on a Thursday on the feast of a Eucharistic martyr and may be Eucharistic in nature. One of the stations details the miracle of the visible host, wherein Conchita, the main seer, visibly received communion from St. Michael. The stations tell us how the Blessed Virgin Mary taught the girls to pray with a heavenly mixture of devotion and childlike joy, how we should pray for the departed and the holy souls of purgatory, and how a life without prayer is a life without God. How many decades have risen to heaven from you good devotees of Bayside? Is not the rosary your own canticle of faith and joy, not to mention union with Christ and his Blessed Mother? Is not the Holy Rosary the sweet background to Veronica's voice conveying the messages of those recordings that give us an audio history of Bayside? Did not Veronica of the Cross likewise receive communion from St. Michael for the third time on May 17, 1986? Did not many Bayside messages deal directly with respect for the Blessed Sacrament or lack thereof and the need to pray with devotion and often? Another theme is the best intentions of God and men. The stations tell us of a loving, merciful, and caring God who desires our salvation if only we are willing to remain obedient, loyal, faithful, true, consistent, and dedicated to our faith. They tell us of a Christ who appeared as a vision of the Sacred Heart to one of the girls, lovingly pointing to his heart with his left hand and welcoming us closer with his right. They tell us how Vatican II's potential for good has been twisted into harm by subjective bias and an agenda disrespecting, defying, and ignoring the Church's tradition, history, and doctrine. The stations speak of heaven's ecumenism. They distinguish this from man's ecumenism, which has been marked by appeasement, rationalization, surrender, and betrayal of basic Catholic principles and doctrines in a crude, confused, and even cowardly attempt at union. How many references to the distortions brought about by Vatican II are found in the Bayside messages? Do these same messages not tell us of the sinister evil and treachery of the UN under the guise of seeking peace? Are we not told of such groups as the Illuminati and others seeking world control? Did we not just see the Bilderberg Group and secret meetings such as like those described by our Blessed Mother at Bayside and reports of the influence of the Rockefellers as often described at the Bayside messages? Another theme is truth or consequences. The stations tell us of the Corpus Christi Night of Screams, during which the girls saw hell and which inspired such fear in Garbondale that the next day most of the town went to confession. They tell us how modernism has tried to erase belief in hell and purgatory and how these places are very real consequences of our conduct here on earth. They speak of the sacredness of life, Mary's predilection towards maternity, expectancy, children, marriage, and family, as evidenced by her many visits to the families, including women expecting a child, and the seer's ability to identify true from false marriages through wedding rings, which Garabandal practically treats as sacramentals. Was not Veronica of the Cross taken to hell many times? Who can forget her anguished tones and cries during such visits? Is not Bayside like Garabandal a loving example of divine mercy seeking to assist our escape from perdition? Another theme is the warning, miracle, and chastisement. The stations of the Pines could not exclude the two most important parts of the Garabandal story, namely the warning and miracle. The warning is described as a loving God's Damascus wake-up call, knocking us off our secular, subjective, and temporal horses to the realization that to a greater or lesser extent, we have strayed from the narrow path to salvation. The miracle will be a supernatural event, leaving no doubt that it comes from God. It will occur on a Thursday evening at 8:30, coincide with an event of the church and a feast of a martyr of the Eucharist. A permanent sign of the miracle, able to be televised, will remain forever at the Pines. Many say that this miracle and sign will not be confined to the Pines, but will also be present at all true apparition sites. The chastisement will be a just consequence of the world if the world does not change after the warning and miracle. Although it is conditional depending on man's response to God, it is Conchita's opinion that it will occur because the world will not change enough, if at all. Make no mistake about it, my dear friends. The warning and miracle are fast approaching and imminent. Are not the warning and miracle also central Bayside predictions? Is not the famous Jacinta 1972 photo believed to contain the dates and times of each of these monumental events? Did not Veronica experience the warning and see the miracle? Did not the Bayside messages likewise make frequent reference to the chastisement? Another theme is signs, symbols, dates, and messages. The stations of the Pines tell us of the sudden untangling of scapulars and rosaries, ecstatic walks up and down rocky paths, sometimes backwards, levitations of the seers, all kinds of medical marvels, and of course, the visible host. The stations note how the supernatural was made natural, the miraculous made possible, and the invisible made visible, all with technology such as photography and videotape as a witness. The stations note the significance of dates. They show how God often chose such events to coincide with key church feasts, such as the Visitation and Corpus Christi. Finally, they speak of the essence of Garabandal, which is that we must be carriers of God's love and service, reminding us that our lamps will have oil ready for our returning master as a result of our actions rather than our calculations of his arrival time. They remind us that living a good life is more about living a life for and about God and serving others than any other superficial, subjective, or temporal measure. Do not Garabandal and Baysides share the same anniversary date of June 18th? Have we not all seen the famous Bayside Jacinta 72 photo and many other miraculous photos and images at Bayside? Have we not heard Veronica and various devotees on tape? Are not the Bayside messages filled with various dates and numbers signifying a number of things mentioned in the messages? Bayside, like Garabandal, has seen the supernatural witnessed by modern technology. Bayside, like Garabandal, has seen its share of symbols, images, and dates. At the end of the day, Bayside, like Garabandal, is all about following Christ in loving service to others, obedience of God's word, and deep devotions to the Almighty's will. Both Bayside and Garabandal are about divine mercy, about seeking our own and others' salvation, rather than expecting it, and about calls that we amend our lives and live our faith in a world and society which looks more like Good Friday every day. Garabandal has seen its shares of highs and lows, from temporary doubts from the seers themselves to ecclesiastic disavowals and obstacles. Baysiders are no strangers to suffering, persecution, misunderstanding, and demonic interference as well. I am here today, my good people, to tell you to hold your heads up, to keep the faith, to have confidence that your struggles are not for naught. On May 7, 2007, the Archbishop of Oviedo, Carlos Osorio Sierra, wrote, "I am open to all information and to every consideration about Garabandal. I want to continue in this manner. What I have done now is authorize priests to go to Garabandal and celebrate Mass there at whatever hour they desire, and to administer the sacrament of reconciliation to as many people as desire it. If God wills it, the Brooklyn Chancery may one day have similar good news for Baysiders as well." On July 15, 1975, Our Lady at Bayside told us to believe what you see at Garabandal. Above all, remain confident, firm and true in your faith, and in the ultimate victory of your cause and mission. Remember that Jesus and our Blessed Mother are on your side. Remember that the miracle and permanent sign will help distinguish true apparitions from false ones. Both Garabandal and Bayside ask us to be, in the words of St. Francis, instruments of God, tools from which our divine carpenter, Christ, can build his kingdom. Looking at all of you good people, I see a spiritual hardware store for Christ. I can vividly recall praying amid the peaceful rustling of trees this morning. I can also recall praying among peaceful trees somewhere else as well, at the Pines in Garabandal 8 years ago. I guess family resemblances are hard to hide, and cream always rises to the top. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Gabriel. And that was Gabriel Garnica, writer for Garabandal International Magazine. And those certainly are some striking resemblances that he draws between Bayside and Garabandal, especially, I think, the fact that Bayside and Garabandal both have the same anniversary date of June 18th. That's certainly no accident. Gabriel's discourse about obedience to superiors cannot be emphasized enough. Since this rule of obedience is heaven's ordinance that the Almighty has established from the beginning, and is the very thing that the Church today is not observing, so that the wide body of today's Catholic hierarchy has become disobedient, no longer adhering to God, but adhering to the times. Which is precisely why Our Lady has had to come to us in her apparition at Bayside and Garabandal to point out the way of true obedience, and to understand that any obedience we do on earth, whether it's children to parents, laity to priests, wives to husbands, priests to bishops, etc., etc., has to be done for the sake of pleasing God and what is right, otherwise it has no value. As Saints Peter and Paul will tell you, it must be done with simplicity of heart, fearing God, and not with respect to persons. Accordingly, as the Church has always taught, when obedience is going to mean committing a sin or a moral fault, then one must never obey. For mere man we do not offend. And Our Lady herself has told us this in the message, which is what the saints have always showed us by their lives, and even in their writings. It is enough to know that if we follow Bayside to the letter, we are in perfect obedience to Church authority. You've been listening to a special edition of St. Michael's Radio, and we certainly hope that you enjoyed today's follow-up presentation of the 38th anniversary at Bayside. Those wishing to receive the free information by mail can do so by writing to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And don't forget to order your Bayside Facts Revealed today. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.